Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Anthony Kimmery. He is the online editor of a terrific resource. If you are interested in the national security space, the Homeland Security Today products, they are really doing, I think, a tremendous service to us all in terms of keeping tabs on what is happening in that particular part of what I think of as the battle space. Anthony Kimmery, welcome back. It's good to have you with us. There are a couple things that I'm really keen to get your thoughts on, and it's good to have a chance to visit with you. It's been too long.
Well, Frank, it's good to be back. It has been too long, and I thank you for the opportunity again.
Always glad to have you. Listen, let's start with what I consider to be one of the most interesting and vexing, perhaps, of public policy issues, namely the fact that we've had government-funded research taking place here and, for that matter, worryingly, elsewhere, about how the genetic makeup of bird flu virus, a particularly toxic disease, can be mutated by manipulation in the lab in such a way as to make it enormously more dangerous in terms of the threat of a human pandemic. Tell us the background to how we got to this point, and then let's visit a little bit about what the implications might be of this kind of information getting loose.
Well, the whole thing started last fall through federally funded research that, well, what happened was this federally funded research allowed scientists working with the National Institutes of Health to find a way of whether the highly virulent H5N1 bird flu virus could deliberately be engineered to make it easier to spread. And it created quite a stir because the findings were going to be published in two scientific journals, Science and Nature. And there was a lot of outcry about whether that should be done, even though the research was done to enable scientists to better understand what the natural mechanisms might be that would naturally cause more dangerous mutations of the virus.
Right. Anthony, let me just interrupt you on this point, just for clarification purposes. When you say the findings were going to be published, was it just the findings, namely, you know, there's a problem here, or was it how this could happen, which is typically what the scientists are most interested in sharing in publications like Nature?
Well, the concern was that the specific mechanisms that the scientists used to make the bird flu virus far more deadly would be published. In the end, after a lot of discussions, some of the more specific details were left out regarding details about, you know, how they could mutate the viruses that would enable replication of their experiment.
Or, unfortunately, could replicate the use for threatening purposes, obviously.
Exactly. The fear being that rogue states or terrorists that had access to disgruntled biochemists, geneticists, you know, could use this information to design deadly viruses. And I had noted more than 6 years ago that counterterrorists had been concerned at that time about intelligence indicating that Al-Qaeda had actually discussed using biomarkers to spread a pandemic-capable flu virus. And, of course, there's been a number of concerns about terrorists and rogue states developing hybrid designer viruses as bioweapons, and even the CIA in 2003 published a classified report outlining their own concerns, and then they put out a 2-page unclassified report that highly redacted that outlined their concerns. And then this past week, the Congressional Research Service even put out a report that detailed the policy considerations that Congress might need to consider about publication of federally funded research along these lines.
Right. Now, Anthony, part of what's so troubling about this, of course, is that this kind of knowledge does not necessarily reside exclusively in the United States or, you know, in the hands most especially of the people who were doing this particular research. In fact, I think I heard on NPR yesterday a report to the effect that there may be as many as 100 labs around the world who already have access to bird flu virus samples and may be capable of doing something along the lines of this kind of genetic manipulation. How serious a problem from the perspective of our Homeland Security team and, you know, the intelligence community and so on, does this appear to be already, even if the Pandora's box of this publication were not opened?
Well, you know, I've reported this several times that, for instance, the 1917 pandemic flu strain, it had been re-engineered almost from scratch using easily or readily available technology and procedures. So if you've got the resources to do it and you've got the bio chemist and geneticist and what have you, it can easily be done. And as a result, it's of extreme concern to the Homeland Security, national security, and intelligence community, because it's not that difficult if you've got the resources and the know-how.
And to the Kimmery of Homeland Security today, how prepared would you say the United States is for these kinds of threats? What's required? Are they are there vaccines? Are there other prophylactic, drugs that need to be stockpiled? Is there a readiness even at the governmental level to contend with this kind of problem? Let alone, you know, among the population at large.
Well, now you get into the issue of biomedical countermeasures. But if you have a newly mutated strain of H5N1 or any other kind of virus that becomes deadly, you cannot create a vaccine for it until you've actually isolated that strain that is causing the destruction. And then it's going to take anywhere from 6 to 9 months to be able to develop a vaccine. In the meantime, you've got one heck of a problem.
Yeah. And Anthony, a related topic, which is not bird flu, but smallpox, keeps rearing its ugly head. We've had an ongoing, again, public policy debate about whether the United States government should eliminate the last specimens of this this deadly disease in the interest of, you know, ridding the planet of it. But concern has been expressed, as I know you're aware, that in so doing, we might make it even harder for us to counter an attack using this disease, should that be mounted against us, especially since many of us now gotten so far away from the vaccinations against it that once were commonplace. What's the latest on that, if you know?
Well, I think that we probably should maintain the existing stockpiles that we have, specifically for the purpose of being able to have it to study in case a rogue or terrorist entity were to create a smallpox virus or even a mutated virus, because we need the capabilities to be able to understand it, to continue to research it in order to combat it if something like that were to break out, particularly from, like I said, a rogue state or a terrorist organization.
Yeah, which if we do proceed to get rid of our last remaining stocks, we'll almost certainly continue to have access to there. Certainly the Russians do, and I suspect others as well. Anthony Kimmery, we have to leave it at that. So much more to talk with you about the borders and tunnels and the like. I hope we'll have a chance to visit with you again very soon. But in the meantime, thank you for helping to illuminate this really challenging problem. It's not just the public policy questions involved in publication or not. It's the larger really worrying lack of preparedness to contend with a biological weapons threat should it be mounted against us. And by the way, folks, there's talk about chemical weapons in Syria. They may also have biological weapons that will soon be unleashed into God only knows whose hands. So stay tuned for more on this with Anthony Kimmery and us. Thank you for joining us, sir. As always, it's great to talk with you. Finally, we will be speaking with Kyron Skinner about what Ronald Reagan might make of all of this. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
I was able to lose the 80 pounds I gained due to pregnancy. It was pretty easy to eat whatever I wanted and not think about it.
The Meta System from Judy Singer has been helping make weight loss easier for a quarter century.
My husband's grandmother used it 20 years ago to lose weight for a wedding and said it was the only way to go.
The Meta System also has an excellent support staff.
They were very supportive. The first time that I ordered the product, they called me and suggested that I order a lower dosage to begin with. They didn't want me to jump the gun right off the bat, and it was nice to know that they actually cared.
And the weight loss is so dramatic, people wonder.
With the Meta System, I've got many questions about how I managed raising a baby and working full-time and lose the weight and eat whatever I wanted.
People who use it recommend it.
I suggested the Meta System to my mother, and she has lost 30 pounds.
Learn more about weight loss with Judy Singer's The Meta System by calling 800-711-JUDY, 800-711-JUDY. The Meta System from Judy Singer, the powerful all-natural way to lose weight, 800-711-JUDY.